All right, we got to start off by doing an intro. So, can you say something witty?
On command, I'll do my best.
Okay, we'll say something witty.
Go.
Hey, dudes.
all right, that's good. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 20th, 2009. I'm Mike Minotti with my brother in crime and more, Ajguy Minotti.
Brother in crime, I think it's partners, but
you're my brother, so
okay.
And we got a third chair today.
Oh my god!
Yes, joining us is we know him as Lord Regulus. Although he just told us he's trying to get rid of the Lord. I don't know why.
It's just Regulus now.
Just Regulus.
Because it's too hyperbolic.
It's like Puff Daddy became P. Diddy became Diddy.
The guy who doesn't like Braid would think that.
Hey, listen.
We're not going to get into that.
Oh, actually, we are.
We are not going to have this discussion now.
I'll tell you what.
I mean, we could if you want.
At the end of the show.
Your entire podcast.
At the end of the show, we're just going to shout at each other.
That could be
oh,
fun.
This is going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this is going to be exciting. This is the first time we got a squad mate on here.
Woohoo.
So, and hopefully we're going to do much more of this in the future. I mean, who knows? Maybe even from now on. But why don't
all kinds of cross promotion, everything is going to be amazing.
Oh, we recorded a commercial.
Oh,
the
wait
to
hear this.
Wait to hear this. This is good stuff. Anyway, today's show, we're going to start off with the news, and Lucy, you got a decent chunk here, actually.
We got a lot of stuff happen this week.
Interesting. Okay, well that's good. I'll give us something to talk about. Then we're continuing the Game of the Years Past segment with a look at 1987, and you know, still right there in the prime of the NES, and we got these PC games starting up. It was a good year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to talk about that. Then we're going to do the Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz, which I'll tell you right now, you get the phone a friend option.
Oh boy.
Basically,
or you can ask me.
But if he gets it right, it's only worth half a point to you. You can do it as many times as you want.
Oh, but it's only I see.
Yes. And then we're going to talk about our week in gaming, what we've been playing, and all that kind of stuff. Then we'll get to the downloadable game releases, then the weekly game releases. Then we'll yell about Braid, and that'll be the whole show.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So go ahead, AJ. I'd like right. to start off with
Let's
this.
Let's kick it off. So Square Enix announced the delay for Dragon Quest IX, pushing the game's Japanese release from March 28th to July 11th, citing bugs and other flaws for the reason. The interesting thing, though, is that this could cause more Final Fantasy XIII delays.
I want to call bullshit on that.
Why?
How is this? Okay, maybe in Japan, but how is this going to cause a Final Fantasy XIII delay in America? Is it because... Is it a staff problem, or is it because they don't want to release Final Fantasy XIII so close
they
to...
They didn't really say. I mean, they can't start translating the game until it's done,
well,
I
they
guess.
Well, they can translate... Yeah, but if the problem is just that... If the problem is just that they don't want to release it so close to each other, and the game's done anyways, then they can start translating it here whenever it would seem.
Well, I wouldn't call a winter release in Japan and a July 11th release close to each other.
I mean, I don't know if it necessarily has that much to do with the release dates being that close together as the development schedules, because Square is a terrible multitasker.
Yeah,
like
that's
the
true.
Company in general cannot do more than one thing at a time, and you know that if they tried to have those like be in development at the same time, you would end up with bits of dialogue from Dragon Quest showing up in Final Fantasy because someone mixed up the paperwork.
Wait, that might be awesome. But
that would be amazing, but.
The voice actors at 13 be really confused. Like, who's this guy?
Yeah, but I mean, how many Final Fantasies have we had in the past 5 years? So,
yeah.
But I don't know. Can they stop making Dragon Quest IX then, or put that on hold for me?
No.
Shit.
Sorry. No. That gets holidays in Japan. Remember, they're not allowed to release it on school days.
Oh my god! You know, Dragon Quest V just came out. And it's getting really good reviews again, and like an A plus from 1UP, 8.5 from GameSpot, and I'm like. Man, maybe I should get this one. But I got Dragon Quest IV because it got reviewed one. I couldn't get into it at all. I don't know. I got to resist the Dragon Quest bug.
The Dragon Quest games in general, you either love or you hate.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Let's see. So we got a duo of Dead Space news. First, the formal announcement of Dead Space Extraction for the Wii.
Actually, an original game.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
It's not a port. It is a prequel. It's also described as an on-rails first-person shooter. So, I mean, we haven't really seen anything else of the game, so I guess I'll try to reserve judgment. I guess it's just not what I was expecting.
It'll give me a good opportunity to use my Nyko Perfect shot.
That's true.
So it's Time Crisis.
Yeah, or more plus, maybe even House of the Dead.
House of the Dead Space.
House of the Dead Space.
That is there. What it is.
Well done.
Now I'm going to think of that every time I hear it. I mean, but on the bright side, I am glad that they're continuing the franchises. I like the first Dead Space. And maybe this will be fun. I don't know. I mean, I kind of was disappointed that it's not controlling like the other Dead Space, because I really liked Resident Evil 4 on the Wii and the way that controlled.
Yes, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So if it was something like that, I would have been excited. But oh well, we'll see.
Well, over on the site VG247.com, they had a video. It was a shaky cam of some guy demoing early footage of Dead Space on the original Xbox, which is apparently how long that game's been kicking around. But I mean, it's really hard to see, but it looked really good still, which makes me hope that the Wii version would look just as good.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're pretty equivalent in terms of hardware power.
Yeah, see, everyone always says that, but I still feel like, aside from, like, Mario Galaxy, there hasn't really been a Wii game to look as good as an Xbox game.
That's because nobody's trying.
Well, true.
Yeah. Why bother? You see that the best-selling Wii games are aging.
Yeah, I know, right?
The vast majority of them are sprite-based, or they have, like, two or three polygon models on screen at a time.
Right.
Solid shading. Good fun.
Yep.
Okay, so Microsoft has announced that they're going to start opening official stores to be run by a former DreamWorks animation exec or something like that. Weird.
Wait.
What? Haven't
they only had one? Wasn't it that Oh, dang it. The guy with the K. He used to work at Disney.
Katzenberg?
Yeah.
Not him.
But what other animation executive producers
have? I don't know. They didn't say. But,
What experience does this man have in retail?
I think it's like jazz, because they want this. This is really to compete with the Apple Store, and you know the Apple Stores have like a certain aesthetic.
They won't be able to.
Oh no,
it's not going to happen.
No. Yeah, so like you know they'll be selling like Zunes and Xboxes and whatever else in these stores.
They can't compete with the Apple Store because they can't possibly make anything more white.
Exactly. Did you ever see that Apple Store in? Oh God, Reg, you've probably been there in New York City.
Yeah. The big glass cube with the enormous steel Apple logo suspended in the middle of it.
I never even heard of that.
It's open 24 hours, and the Genius Bar is always fully booked at like 3:30 in the morning.
Weird.
Yeah, because I never even heard of it. And I was walking. We were walking down the one time I was in New York to go to that toy store, F.E.O. Schwartz. And it was I'm like, what the hell is this thing?
You can't 24 hour Apple Store.
You can't help but want to go in it and see what's in there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But how about Sony? Don't they have stores, Edge Guy?
Not anymore.
Ooh.
Well, Sony has one store in New York, but it's like they took the design of an Apple store and they took everything that's white and they replaced it with gunmetal gray and wood.
Weird.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Someone should tell them that wood is not in.
Since the Atari. Well, Sony had it was just a PlayStation store at the Metreon in San Francisco, and they're closing that actually, which is weird because that'd be like Nintendo closing the Nintendo World store in New York,
which I hope they never do.
Yeah,
no matter how disinterested I may become in Nintendo products, there's something about that store that just tickles my fancy.
I was there, and it was still a Pokemon Center.
Really?
Yeah,
probably not as cool.
That was pretty sweet.
No,
shut up, AJ.
I don't know. There's a giant Charizard.
Do you see what I deal with here, Rich?
Oh my God.
What do I even say to that?
So I heard you like Mudkips.
Dude, you don't know shit about Pokemon.
No, I don't have a photographic memory, but I have a memory that pulls in more information than I would like. And my first negative experience with that was seeing a poster of all 150 Pokemon, and to this day, I have them committed to memory.
That's impressive.
I had my Pokedex down pretty good. I know at one point, I knew when every Pokemon learned their best move at what level and what that move was.
Nerd.
Yeah. Oh, shut up, you. What's next? God.
Okay, so they announced that the iPhone version of Puzzle Quest will be receiving the Chapter 2 update free, which is interesting because everyone was like really pissed off when they announced it was going to be split up in chapters, and the first one was like $10.
Get them their big bowl of crow.
Exactly. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
Everyone bitching about Puzzle Quest on the iPhone. You and Chris
it's
play like, it.
It's phenomenal. I love it. It's a good version.
Oh, there you go. I got that PSP version that's broken.
Yeah.
Like, every PSP version, just the assists just do not work.
Let's see. So, they... Criterion kind of very quickly released the legendary car pack for Burnout. They, like, announced it, and 2 days later it came out.
They announced that a while ago.
Well, but I mean, like, they announced, like, the release date. Like, we didn't know when it was coming. They were like, oh, yeah, it's coming out, like, in 2 days. And okay. I was like, yeah. So, I downloaded it. It's pretty awesome. The weird thing was with the pricing. I'm conflicted, because I was honestly expecting $10 for it, and it's $8 for all four cars, but individually, they're $2 a piece, except for the Jansen 88 Special, which is the DeLorean. That one's $4.
Oh, they know.
Oh, they do know.
They so know it's which like, one everyone wants.
I feel kind of like angry that they like jacked up the price of that one, but then the whole thing's less than I was expecting. So I'm like, well, I guess I can't be mad.
Right. I mean, I imagine everyone will just buy all of them.
But I really need to get the MP3 of the Back to the Future theme, just put it on my Xbox and set it to loop and just start driving that
around.
Yeah,
that's real cool. Nerd, you're the one.
I really hope they have some kind of, like, even if it doesn't change the game at all, I really hope they have some kind of funky effect that happens when you hit 88 miles per hour.
Well, as Mike's watched me, he's like, hey, where's the speedometer? I'm like, there isn't one. He's like, then how do you know? But
that's horrible.
When you do a boost, it leaves a flame trail behind you.
Okay, that's cool.
And then, like, when you're in the General Lee, you could push the left stick and it'll do that. The Ghostbusters car, you can turn on the sirens. The Nighthawk doesn't really do anything that I've found yet. There might be a trick to it that I don't know about. All right, let me know how much this interests you guys. Commodore 64 titles are supposedly coming to the Virtual Console. Does anyone care?
What games were on the Commodore 64?
I'm not sure. I think it was bigger in Europe.
It was much bigger in Europe. The only thing about the Commodore 64 that interests me is the sound chip.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It gets used in chip music a lot because it sounds incredible, even now.
We'll have to ask Pete about what he thinks of this.
Yeah, he might know more. All right, so The Lost in the Dam, the GTA 4 expansion, was dropped this week. And, of course, the internet has exploded over the fact that there is a dick in the one cutscene.
It's just...
COMG!
It's just wagging right in front of me.
Nudity is, like, fine if it furthers the story or whatever. I watched the cutscene, and the cutscene is actually pretty good. But then it's just, like, for no reason at all, they're like, yeah, we're going to show you his penis.
It comes off as they're doing it just to
do it.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is Rockstar we're talking about.
I know.
Yeah, well, and this is what you said the other day, Mike. Like, I'm getting tired of defending Rockstar.
I am. I'm sick of it.
Don't. I have never defended Rockstar because I think they're all asshats. Them and Running with Scissors can go eat a dick.
Oh, seriously, right?
At first I was all like, these guys are, like, back in like GTA 3, I'm like, oh man, these guys are pushing the envelope. I respect that. Then they kept going and going and, you know, first we're having sex with prostitutes and, you know, and now we're showing dicks and it's just, I'm just tired of it.
Like I said, I mean, it's just there just to do it. It doesn't do anything to further enhance
the
experience.
You know what it is? There's a joke that I just reheard a couple of days ago, and I'm going to try to condense it. But this Scotsman walks into a bar, and he's just like completely depressed, and the bartender pours him a drink, and he points out the window, and he goes, "You see that bridge over there? I built that bridge with me bare hands, but nobody calls me Angus the Bridge Builder. And you see that village over there? I thatched those roofs with me bare hands. Nobody calls me Angus the Roof Thatcher." And then he stops and he gets silent for a couple of seconds and he goes, "But you fuck one goat." And you know what? Rockstar are the guys fucking the goat. They really are. Like,
but they didn't fuck just one goat. They keep doing it.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, like, when everybody else is, like, really trying to make some progress and get some, like, actual cultural legitimacy, these guys are fucking goats.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, of course, like, we, you know, a lot of us kind of feel like we should be defending them and defending video games in general, but, I mean, they're just fucking it up for us.
They're bringing the industry down in a lot of ways. And it's just, because when if someone mainstream is going to talk about something in a video game, they're not going to talk about, you know, what BioShock did and about how the environments were so convincing. They're going to talk about the dick in Lost in the Dams.
Yep.
It wouldn't even be so bad if they were like, yeah, our games are dick and fart jokes. But they're like, no, we have a serious story in there too, and these characters, you're going to connect with them. And it's just, I'm tired of them wanting it both ways.
It's just wankery.
It is. And you know what? We're giving it more attention now than I even care to, so why don't we move on?
Okay. So Blizzard has said that StarCraft II is in the quote-unquote final stretch.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
It means it's the final 3 years of development.
Right. Probably accurate. And, you know, they talked about the beta, which is coming too, and they said they don't want to lie about it. They don't want us to think it's going to be, like, next week, but it'll be soon, quote unquote.
Why don't they call it the StarCraft II trilogy anymore?
Yeah, they've kind of tried to get away from that, it seems like.
Yeah, they made that one announcement. I think they kind of expected everyone to be like, yes, more StarCraft. And then everyone was like, wait, how much are you going to charge us for all of this? And now it's just StarCraft 2 again. So I don't know if they're backpedaling on that whole idea or what. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, here, let's talk about good stuff that I like. The
good stuff that I like.
Yes, the Team Fortress 2 scout update is slowly having some details doled out. Here's what we know so far. The first of his new unlockable weapons will be an upgrade for his baseball bat called the Sandman. This bat can actually, like, you can hit baseballs out with it, and if he hits you with a baseball, you get stunned, even if you're, like, invulnerable.
Hmm.
The catch, though, is if you have one, you cannot double jump anymore. The other unlockable they showed is the Bonk Energy Drink, which I guess it kind of works like the heavy weapon guy's sandwich. And when you drink it, you are able to dodge bullets for a few seconds, so you basically become invulnerable.
Huh. That's nice. I mean, when I don't play Team Fortress 2 as much as I should, but when I do, I usually do play as a scout.
Mm-hmm.
There's new maps?
Yeah, they're both community-made maps. One is called Arena Watchtower, and the other is CP_Junction.
So how many Capture the Flag maps are there in the entire game?
One.
See, I'm so fucking sick of that! Whenever I go on that game, all I want to do is play the goddamn 2 for it. And I'm like, maybe they're going to bring Rock 2 or, you know, the traditional well or make something new. But why are there no Capture the Flags? That's what Team Fortress was synonymous with.
I'm sorry. There's also a list of achievements for you to look at.
Oh, that's fucking great. I want the Capture Flag. I mean, you make it a briefcase, make it a fucking clown suit, whatever. I want to capture something and bring it back to my goddamn base.
Yeah. You know, there's something actually that I really like about the way the way Bungie does all of their maps for Halo, where every single one of the maps works for every single game type.
You know what? I do like that.
Which is great, because Halo 3 has, like, you know, 23 Capture the Flag.
Yeah, exactly.
And 23 Deathmatch maps, and, you know.
You're right. I like that approach better. You know what? You're right. Some of these maps, you could just, I mean, you could put a flag somewhere and say, okay, it's a Capture the Flag map.
Yeah, as long as you have some reasonable amount of symmetry, you can pull it off.
Right. A lot of them do.
The capture point ones seem to.
Right, exactly. Maybe not like some of these arena ones or Gold Rush or whatever. But.
Right. Okay, so with Halo Wars coming out, that basically means Ensemble is done. But from the ashes rises the phoenix of Robot Entertainment, which is made up of former Ensemble staff and co-founder of Ensemble, Tony Good. These are the guys who are going to continue doing post-release support for Halo Wars. It's been said that they're going to continue work on the Age of Empires series, though nothing new is announced, and the work has already begun on a new IP. So, it's just like, it seems like, why do they close Ensemble if these guys are basically Ensemble?
Maybe there's some bizarre legal reasoning behind it that I'll never know. Maybe they get to pay them less money this way.
It could be.
I don't know.
That may have been like kind of a fancy way of downsizing the studio.
Yeah.
Or instead of firing everybody, they just, you know, they just close the place down and then let a small handful of them reform.
And I'm trying, what was the guy's name who he joined Ensemble and helped create Age of Empires, and he also helped with the creation of Civilization. I'm forgetting his name.
Well, you're not going
to. But he spoke at DICE this past week, which we'll get to that later. And I guess he was talking about kind of what killed Ensemble. It seemed like a large part of it was that they just got too big and couldn't afford the overhead. So there may be something to what you're saying. All right, I'm going to duck out of the way after I say this. Braid is going to be released on the PC on March 31st. It's going to be released on Impulse. and it was originally priced.
Oh, cool!
It was originally priced at.
Oh, shut up, Reg.
It was originally priced
oh,
at.
Cool.
No. I'm serious. I like the fact that it's going to be on Stardock's service. They've got a good thing going for them.
But it was originally announced at $19.99, and kind of everyone flipped out. So they're like, "Why is it more expensive than the Xbox version?" So Jonathan Blow did the very next day announce a new price of $14.99, and if you already pre-ordered it for $20, Stardock's going to give you your $5 back.
All right.
Cool.
I'm going to wait to yell at him later.
Okay. DSi price and dated. The DSi will be released in North America on April 5th for the low price of $169.99, which, damn.
The eyes were inexpensive.
Are two VGA cameras really that expensive?
Yeah, I guess. How much would a camera cost you if you wanted to
get
one?
Like a 640 by 480 camera? I don't know. I think I got one in a box of tricks the other day.
Oh. I don't know.
I mean, the parts cost for those is probably like $7 or $8.
Yeah. And you're removing the GBA slot, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem to me like it should cost maybe $150 is pushing it.
I'll tell you what.
Well, I mean, Nintendo is just kind of going by the Apple pricing scheme, which is make it expensive because it's new.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're not going to sell out.
Right. They're going to sell these, so what the hell?
Okay, does anybody here play the Metal Gear Solid online at all?
A little.
Okay. There's a new expansion coming out, the Siege.
Yeah, they threw Raiden in there.
Raiden and Vamp, and three new maps, Hazard House, Outer Outlet, and Ravaged Riverfront.
I want to say I liked it when I played it. I don't know why I don't play it.
What killed it for me was the whole Konami ID thing. It was so
convoluted. It was fun. I feel like I should play it more. But maybe someday I'll get all these expansions and start playing it again.
I mean, the game would definitely – it would be a much more enjoyable experience if you didn't have to jump through all sorts of hoops just to be able to start the game.
Right. But this content is going to release sometime in March, and apparently if you pre-order it, which you can do this now for DLC, which doesn't make sense, you get a free Cardboard Man headgear add-on for your character. Okay, this headline is for you. EVE Online Apocrypha trailer released. Your thoughts?
The new trailer that they put out, I don't know if you guys saw it, it's actually it's the new opening cinematic for the game. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I like it in that I think it kind of captures what the game is about a little bit better, but it's so melodramatic that it's just like, you are about to become what all men should fear. And I'm like, are you serious?
You're immortal though.
I'm jumping into a spaceship and shooting at shit. Don't give me this, like, you know, big, like, kind of, I don't know. People,
are you worried that they're Warcraftizing
big,
it?
Big RPers. Huh?
You're worried that, like, they're Warcraftizing it with some of the melodrama?
No, I mean, they're not. I mean, the game has always been really melodramatic, but until recently, the melodrama was all player-generated.
Well, yeah.
And now CCP is kind of getting in on it because, like, I mean, it's pretty interesting because it's getting to the point where the player politics out in zero security space are actually having a significant enough effect on the game that it's actually changing the lore.
Hmm.
So it's getting pretty, the whole game is entering this really weird gray area where, like, nobody's entirely sure who's responsible for where the game is going.
Right,
which is why they formed that player council specifically to like have some kind of liaison with the players and the developers because it's crazy. There's so much shit going on there right now.
I was gonna say like the only thing is like I watched that trailer and it's like it seems to me like this is what the game can be, but then I always remember like I watched like trailers like this. I'm like, I'm gonna start EVE again. This game looks so awesome, and then like. It's that like 5 hours in the beginning where I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Right. It's funny because I've had this discussion with a couple of people and that I honestly believe that the only thing that you need to enjoy EVE is patience.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other shit that you think is like really like ridiculous or hard or stupid or whatever it is, as long as you're patient, all of that is fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The first month and a half, 2 months of the game, even if you're jumping right into a 0-0 alliance and just playing as like a weak-ass tackler or something, it's a little boring in the beginning. But it picks up pretty quick once you get through that initial push. And then after that, it's just like, it's amazing.
I'm still waiting. Is the, what's this called? Apocrypha or whatever. Is this the
Apocrypha. It is an actual word, oddly enough. It's just.
Is this the one that's going to have the, like, space stations you could walk in?
That's the next expansion. Okay. This one is actually adding several thousand new star systems that aren't accessible by the traditional route. You have to find wormholes that spawn in randomly.
Oh, wow.
And you have to scan them down, jump through them, go to some uncharted bit of space that's completely removed from wherever it is that you currently are, and all of your scanners and basically everything that your ship has to tell you where you are in relation to everything else don't work there.
Wait, why would you even want to go there?
Wow.
Because there's a shitload of like really, really valuable minerals and shit that you can find to build new ships with the expansion.
Okay, but you can never
make a fucking fortune.
Right, but you can never be like, I want to go to this galaxy today because you don't know.
Well, you can't plan to go to a particular one, but you can like get your corp together and be like, all right, let's go find a wormhole. And you scan down a wormhole and everybody jumps in and the wormhole collapses and you're like, fuck, where are we?
See, that sounds exciting to me. When the space station expansion comes out, I think I'm going to give this game another shot, but you need to like be there with me to like help me through it.
I will, actually, because I'm like right now I've given up on trying to get my real life friends into Eve because I'm flying with goons now and we are not newbie friendly.
Okay, well, we just spent like 10 minutes.
But
talking
about
once Eve.
Like you know, like a year from now when they actually make it a little bit more alluring to non-existing Eve players, then yeah, I'll definitely make a corp just for the squad.
Sweet. Okay, so. This has kind of been the writings on the wall for a while for this, but Midway has been delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, and they have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Although they claim they're actually not all that bad off, Mortal Kombat versus DC did make a good chunk of change for them. It just kind of came a little too late, but they claim they'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. They will.
Part of the news that came out of this is Wheelman, which was being originally published by Midway, is now kind of being half published by Midway, half published by Ubisoft. It's going to come out March 24th.
You're not going to read this giant quote.
No, I just wanted to scan it real quick. Basically, Ubisoft's doing most of the work for like North America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, France, Germany, Austria, Ireland, and UK. And Midway is going to do like all the other European territories. And Midway maintains the rights to the franchise going forward.
You know what? You know what would be cool? If when Midway does go under, they have to sell the Mortal Kombat license and Capcom buys it. And then we finally get Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat.
Ooh.
Oh, that game would sell.
Yeah, sure. And then maybe they can release it for the Dreamcast.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Reg. You got a lot of good ideas. I like you.
So EA has announced, oddly enough, a sequel to American McGee's Alice called The Return of American McGee's Alice coming this year to PC, 360, and PS3.
From American McGee.
Yeah. I just
this whole game.
It seemed like this
me.
Guy made Alice and was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then like his name's on the box. I'm like, oh, this guy must be a big deal. Then like what do you make after that? Bad Day, LA, and Grimm.
He made Scrapland.
Oh, okay, yeah. Three amazing games. Yeah. I just don't understand why this guy gets his name on the box.
Because he used to work for id, and everybody who used to work for id is automatically a demigod.
Oh, like George Romero?
He has a cool name.
You mean John Romero.
Yeah.
George Romero.
I'm thinking Day George Broussard.
No, you're thinking George Romero, the Day of the Dead guy.
Oh, that too, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
my brain's a mess.
Yeah, I know you're a mess.
So, hey, Canadians. That's you, Mark. If you go and buy some Cheeseheads brand mozzarella cheese, you'll get Beyond Good and Evil for free.
For what?
Wait, what?
I saw this. I had to say, this is so bizarre. On the package of cheese is a slip sleeve with the CD for Beyond Good and Evil.
A PC version, I guess?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, go buy some mozzarella sticks.
Oh, my God. I am renting a car driving to Canada right now.
I guess.
You know, you could just buy it on Steam for $10.
No. I mean, I need to find this packaging and bring it home and preserve it for posterity.
I don't know if Cheeseheads is a big brand in Canada, but if it is, that's awesome.
I enjoy my mozzarella.
So you buy a package of mozzarella cheese and you get the Beyond Good and Evil seal.
Yeah, it's like glued on the back.
So you don't even have to mail in. You don't have to mail in.
It's just like, no, it's just like, you know, it's just a little cardboard
like
sleeve and it's glued on the back of the
like
mozzarella
a cereal
package.
Prize.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
Isn't that awesome?
One of the greatest games of the past 10 years is a freaking cheese prize.
Oh, this is sad. This is sad.
Wow.
Next they're going to be giving away Grim Fandango with cans of Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that'd be good. I like Dr. Pepper.
Oh my god. Free copy of the original Metroid with every purchase of Special K.
Okay.
I could get behind that, though.
I know, right? I want to see this trend continue, and I want it to
classic
come to America.
Classic games from the 80s in cereal boxes? You heard it here first.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
It's a hot market.
Wait a second. Now I feel like that there was a game package with cereal at some point, but I can't remember
for
the
life
of me.
No, there was the Atlantis game.
I actually have the the box for the Nintendo cereal system from Ralston.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff.
I have the front of the box attached to my front door with magnets.
Nice. You're hardcore.
Yeah.
But no, Mike, you were talking, I think, remember like they released the first half of that Atlantis PC shooter with cereal?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that game.
They did do that. All right, enough about food.
For those who care, the Tomb Raider DLC has gotten a new release date, February 24th.
Don't care. Move on.
Oh,
Reg, do you care, Reg?
No.
Oh, good.
I forgot to write this down, but I remembered. Quake Live is entering open beta on the 24th. So everyone.
Oh, nice. Finally, I can play against people who won't kick my ass.
Yeah, and I could talk about it. So, you know, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it plays like Quake 3.
Spoiler alert, it is Quake 3.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the rest of the DICE conference, which was held in Vegas. I got three stories out of there. Steven Totila had an interview with Pete Hines of Bethesda Software talking about the Pit DLC coming to Fallout 3. He was taking questions on Twitter, and he used one of mine, so we'll get to that.
Aren't you cool?
The people were asking things like, you know, how's it compare to Operation Anchorage? So it's about as long as Operation Anchorage, but like more Fallout, less of a shooter, I guess. You'll be able to like take all the items with you instantly. There's no like weird vault and all this stuff. The question I asked is just how far they went in creating Pittsburgh in the game. And, the response was that it'll look like to someone who lives in Pittsburgh, you'll be able to say like, yeah, this is post-apocalyptic Pittsburgh, but don't expect to be walking around on like a sightseeing tour of specific landmarks. So I guess I can't go look at my apartment.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
But it will come out next month, $10, and I'm very excited.
Very good.
Ooh. Gabe Newell gave the keynote. He had two very interesting things to say about Steam and game pricing, really. First of all, in kind of an argument for free DLC, he said every time they release a free update to Team Fortress 2, TF2 sales that week increase 100%. So it's kind of saying you don't have to charge for DLC. You're going to create so many more new customers. It doesn't matter. Then he talks about how he thinks games are too expensive. I believe last week we talked about how Left 4 Dead was on sale 50% off, $25. They saw a 3,000% increase in sales that weekend. Jeez. The game sold more that weekend than it did at launch.
Weird.
So, like, it makes you think, do you want to sell a bunch of games for $60 or a shit ton for
$30? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, like, they cut, you know, if they cut the price in half and the sales more than doubled, then they're making more money.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about this later, but just Street Fighter 4, at $40, I think that game would be a no-brainer for so many people. And at $60, I think it's a bit of a tougher sale. Something that people will think this is Street Fighter. But we'll get to that later.
Yes. And the last bit I have, David Perry was talking again.
I commented on this. I read this. I flipped out.
Along with all his hopes and dreams of the game gets rendered on a server farm and then streamed to you, which is a few years away, I would think. He says, I personally think the days of single-player games are numbered. Without question, our focus is entirely on multiplayer.
God.
Because, as I said on Twitter the other night, you know, Fallout 3, Grand Theft Auto 4, Fable 2, those games weren't very popular last year. Now there was Portal and Bioshock and Mass Effect the year before, so he might be right.
Beyond Good and Evil totally sucked, man. Mm-hmm. Just like...
I mean, there's
the Metroid series. Seriously, yeah. Fuck the Metroid series. So bad. I can't even shoot at anybody.
I like people who like, whoa, Warcraft's popular. Then they think they're analysts.
Yeah. Well, David Perry he's very much a believer in the whole kind of Korean free to play model of gaming. Which is big really... over there, but it's big over there because, well, let's face it, it's Korea. It's not like they're going out dropping $500 on a PlayStation 3 and then buying a bunch of games for $60. If it's free, they're going to play it. And if they have to drop $5 a month for some in-game items, right, they'll do it.
Plus, I think the only game, like actual game rather than in-game transaction, that Koreans will pay for is StarCraft again.
Right.
Again and again and again.
Yeah, a lot. But like,
until, you know, until they wear out the disc somehow and then buy another one.
Yeah. And like, you know, Korea, they don't have like a Sid Meier or Shigeru Miyamoto the way like we do here. You're always going to have compelling single player experiences in Japan and North America. I mean, between JRPGs and games like Fallout and games like BioShock, it's not going anywhere.
I'd hope not. Okay. Well, that was a pretty long news segment.
Yeah.
So why don't we move on to Game of the Year for 1987.
Ooh.
And again, these are Japanese releases.
Chuck Yeager's Advanced Flight Trainer.
Is that your favorite game ever?
Chuck Yeager's?
It was one of the first video games I ever played, so I had to throw that in there.
Okay. Well, it has been thrown in. We'll consider that one, Reg. All right. So
put that under review.
Yeah. We'll get back to you. So, first up I have here is Contra.
Oh, I love Contra. Me and our neighbor used to, I remember the one day we finally said, okay, we are beating this game. No Konami code, nothing. We're beating it. And something like 6 hours later, we did it.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Bullshit.
Ask Kabuta. Wow. We did it.
He's lying, Reg. Don't say wow. He's totally bullshitting. He's totally remembering something that did not happen.
Totally did.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine. Okay, well, the first Final Fantasy also came out in Japan at this point.
Woohoo.
And it was the first Final Fantasy.
True.
You know, it was fun. They got better. Gauntlet.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead, Reg.
I love the, I just love the fact that we have this many games named Final Fantasy.
It never gets old.
The irony of that. I mean, like, you know, I guess in 1987, it made sense to name it Final Fantasy. Because they really did think it was going to be their last game.
Right.
But now it's like, can we start calling them like Penultimate Fantasy or something?
They didn't foresee the 12 sequels and all the offshoots and sub-series.
Yeah.
If only they did.
I would think that once that happens, you might want to be like, listen, if we're going to make more of these, can we change the name?
It is a cool name, though.
It is. It's nicely alliterated.
So many games want that name, and they just kind of try. Like Lost Odyssey is basically another way of saying Final Fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. And it also has the advantage of sounding absolutely Japanese.
Right.
Final Fantasy. You know, it's great. I love it. Because Japanese never has two consonants next to each other, so they can't really handle the N and the T together.
I never thought of it that way.
I love it.
They can't handle it. They see like, oh shit. What did they do? Oh man. Anyways, we also had Gauntlet come out on the NES.
Mm-hmm. I love Gauntlet.
I liked Gauntlet more than Contra, personally. Gauntlet was, I don't know. I could get a little further at Gauntlet. Keep in mind, I was like 3 or 4 when I was playing all these games. So if any game was hard, I probably wouldn't get very far in it. Maniac Mansion came out, which is, I mean, for all of us LucasArts Adventure Game loving fans, it's a big one. Both Beige and Zach brought that up when I asked on Twitter for suggestions. And I was going to put it on there anyways, obviously.
Aren't you special?
Yeah. Has anyone here actually beaten Maniac Mansion, though?
I never did.
No, I never did either. The only time I even played it was when there was like that code in Day of the Tentacle where you could play Maniac Mansion. And I would play it for a little bit and be like, okay, I want to play Day of the Tentacle now. So yes. I don't have the context for it. But just thinking about the other games that were coming out in 1987, obviously it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We got Mega Man. The first Mega Man came out, and both Fox Tastical and Zach brought that up also.
Yeah.
While I love the first Mega Man, my only problem with calling it the game of the year for that year is just that Mega Man 2 is so much better than it.
I just remember the first time I ever played the original Mega Man, because I played 2 and 3 first, and I went over to a friend's house. He had 1. And it's just so how much harder it was. Like, I remember he and his brother watched me play it, and I was flashing because I just got hit, but I was falling on some spikes. But I'm like, well, I'm flashing. It's okay. And I hit the spikes, die, and I go, the spikes kill you. And then he and his brother in perfect succession shout, even when you're flashing. And I'm like, this game's hard. Oh, then have like the weird sub weapons and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, there's that Guts Man one. You pick up blocks. Yeah, it was a little different. And it was a good foundation, but yeah. Mega Man 2 and 3 kind of wiped the floor with it. Phantasy Star came out, so we got a Master System game on here.
All right.
I didn't realize the first Phantasy Star came out the same year as the first Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Oh, that's just a weird thing to think about. Never played it, so yeah. I can't say anything about it, but so I thought it merited mentioning.
Yeah, it has some momentum as a series, but I think most people weren't exposed to it until Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. That's when I played a lot of it. We got Sid Meier's Pirates came out.
Yep.
Never played the original, just the newish one that came out a few years ago. I like that.
Technically, impressive game for its time, what you can do, and it was different.
Yeah.
Punch-Out came out.
Which I love Punch-Out.
I do
Punch-Out.
Like
Punch-Out.
Far more a puzzle game than a boxing game, I would say.
It is, kind of. And I'm still interested to see what they're going to do with that new Punch-Out.
I hope it's good.
It looks like... I want to see if they can get away from just like a literal like translation of that to the Wii. Or if they're going to try to make it more sim-like. I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever is more casual. So sim is a bad word on the Wii. Right.
Well, this time it might actually work out.
Yeah.
In the great tradition of more games with exclamation points in the title, we have Skate or Die.
Now you have to be Skate or Die!
Do I have to say that? I don't think I do.
Okay, fine.
But, I
think you'd have to do that if it was in all caps with the exclamation
point. Oh, you might be right.
Right. Punch-Out has two exclamation points, so maybe I have to scream that one. This one's just got one.
Ah, true.
No, I think with the two exclamation points, you don't necessarily have to yell it, but it has to be more than an inside voice and with reverb.
Oh, I get you.
Punch-Out.
Are you going to add reverb to that
later?
Yeah, we'll see if you do. I bet you'll forget. Anyway, Skate or Die was a fun game. It was the only skating game worth playing until Tony Hawk came out, as far as I was concerned.
Yep.
Then the original Street Fighter came out. Arcades. How about that?
I've never played that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I should. Just for...
Like I'll say before. Just kicks. No one played Street Fighter 1. Except for maybe in retrospective. Yeez 1 came out. Yeez. Y-S.
Yes. Y-S.
Y-S.
It's a series I've always been kind of curious about.
They're roguelikes, right?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe. they're kind of like roguelike / Zelda type thing going on.
Speaking of Zelda, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link came out.
Yes.
That game was just so weird as a kid because you just wanted another Zelda and it was so different. And it's hard.
It was hard, yeah.
I still can't beat the first dungeon.
I can't get very far in it today, no. Every time I'm like, I'm gonna be cool and play Zelda 2. That'll be awesome, and then I just don't get very far.
Yeah, then it just kicks your ass. Yeah.
Right. So then we got some more suggestions, mainly from Zach. One was California Games.
Now if this is the game I'm thinking of, this is the one where you were like skateboarding as a gorilla and surfing as like a bobcat in a tuxedo or something like that.
I think that is a
Yeah, remember this game? This game was sweet.
I think it was sweet. I never knew how to do a damn thing in it.
It was hard. It was very hard, but it was really cool.
I had no idea what was going on. Also, the first Leisure Suit Larry came out.
The only Leisure Suit Larry game I played was that one they released like 4 years ago that was just mini games, really.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then
he suggested Karnov. Do you know what Karnov is, George?
Oh, it rings a bell, but hang on. I don't know what that is. I'm looking at the box art right now, and I recognize it, but I don't think I ever played. It was a platform game.
Oh, okay. Huh. Oh, wait, now that you say that, I think I might actually know what you're talking about. Maybe. But I don't have any details on it. I definitely didn't play it.
The box art is just this like enormous dude who looks like a shaven Zangief just stomping on things.
Huh.
Interesting. Well, that's what we got for 1987.
That's it?
Well, what would do you help me out here? How about
Metal Gear?
Metal Gear?
Now wait a second.
You son of a bitch.
No, I did not. There's no
original Metal Gear on the MSX.
How can I miss it?
I don't know, but you did.
Oh man, I feel terrible.
And the other two I was going to suggest are the original R-Type.
Ooh.
Afterburner.
Oh, nice. I love Afterburner.
I'm a big fan of Afterburner. As you guys know, I play way too much Ace Combat, and Afterburner is where it started, along with Chuck Yeager's Advanced Flight Trainer.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, the way I like to think, I'm like, when we do the best ever, we all get to pick one. We have to come to a consensus here and pick a game of the year for 1987. We got Contra, Final Fantasy, Gauntlet, Maniac Mansion, Mega Man, Phantasy Star, Sid Meier's Pirates, Punch-Out, Skate or Die, Street Fighter, Yeast 1, Zelda 2, California Games, Leisure Suit Larry, Karnoff, Metal Gear, Afterburner, and R-Type. Which one of these was not only a game you enjoyed, but you thought was important to the industry? And I don't know, this is harder than last week we just said Zelda 1, and I was pretty content with that.
Yeah, that was pretty easy to pick.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here. It's hard to, because I would just go by whatever had the most influence, because I don't think I'd be able to pick which one I like more.
If that's the case, I'd kind of have to go with Final Fantasy, just because when you really think about it, the core of Final Fantasy has not changed that much from 1987.
My problem with that is Final Fantasy, a lot of it was done in Dragon Quest the year before. I don't know. Maybe Maniac Mansion, just for laying down the foundation for LucasArts Adventure games. And that was, but then that was important for a while, but is it relevant today for adventure games went? I don't know. Mm. Metal Gear actually is kind of
I would be thinking about that because it was one of the first games that kind of gave you a nonviolent means to solve like an actual combat situation.
Exactly. It was the first time where it played like, there were so many other games like it that played just like it, but they wanted you to just shoot everything. And this time it was like, no, you know, don't, you know, keep a cool head and stuff like that.
Plus it was probably one of the first games to really develop characters to the degree it did, especially in an action game.
I think I'm going to say Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
All right. All right. So 1986, awesome. We got Legend of Zelda. 1987, game of the year was Metal Gear, or the MSX. All right.
Plus we have spoken.
Woo.
All right. And now we're moving on to the Great American Agile Gaming Quiz.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I love this part.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. Just like last week, most of these questions are based off of games that were just brought up in that list. So we got five questions in the bonus question.
Here we go.
I thought about going easy on you with the bonus question, just making it how many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Many.
Yeah, but I decided to give you a real question instead.
Darn.
Okay, so at any point, you can ask Reg to help you out, and if he gives you an answer, you get half a point for that. Okay. But Reg will get a gold star.
Oh.
Oh, sweet. Can I exchange them for not getting yelled at for not liking bread?
If you could amass three gold stars... Oh, not yet.
I'm glad these have value.
I'm getting metagame bonuses now. I love it.
Achievement unlocked.
All right.
Achievement unlocked. Tolkoto doesn't hate you.
50 gamer score.
No, that's worth 150. Let's get down to this. First question. The playable characters in Gauntlet were Thor the Warrior, Questor the Elf, and Thyra the Valkyrie. What was the wizard's name?
They had names?
Yep.
Do you know, George?
I have no clue. I played Gauntlet like twice and then got bored and went back to Turtles in Time.
I thought his name was like Blue Wizard.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's not a very original name.
It's like...
Murdolph.
Yeah, like, is it Merlin?
It's Merlin! Got it.
All right. Yay. Oh. That's a point.
You don't get a gold star there, George. You helped him with the Murdoch a little bit, but still.
I was just about to say it.
Not quite there.
I am a shit.
All right. Number two. In Maniac Mansion, what is Dr. Edison's son's name?
Fred Edison. Fred Edison. I think you want to be specific.
It said Edward Edison for me.
Oh, shit. Maybe it is Ed. Oh, the doctor's name is Fred. God damn it.
Yeah. I'm not going to give that to you.
I should have even had the weird part.
Yeah, it was close, but no. How many playable characters were in Maniac Mansion?
Oh, man. Do you know for sure?
No.
I'm going to say 9.
Reg, would you like to take a guess?
I'm going to take a guess at 8.
7.
Ugh.
Close.
Which character from Punch-Out was a character in Captain N?
Oh, King Hippo.
Yes, it's King Hippo. You're on one. You only got 2 points here. You're running out of questions, AJ.
I know.
All right. Gen, or Gen, or whatever. G-E-N. He's currently in Street Fighter 4. Made his first appearance in what game?
Hmm. Do you know?
No.
You better not be Wikipediaing this shit, Reg. I know I can't
not,
see you.
I am not. My hands are...
Goodness.
I need
to
guess.
It's got to be a Street Fighter game. Then again, who knows?
It was probably one of the ones with all the weird subtitles that was like some like limited edition that was released only in like Indonesia and Korea. Street Fighter 2 Alpha, Third Strike, Second Edition, Super CX Turbo.
Yeah, I'll just say Street Fighter Alpha for simplicity's sake.
Street Fighter 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That just goes to show nobody played Street Fighter 1.
I just blew all your minds.
Wow.
Yep. There you go. All
right, what's my bonus
question? I think he may have appeared in the Alpha series also, but this first one's definitely that. Bonus question. Similar question for Rose from Street Fighter 4. What game did she first appear in?
She was one of the Alpha games, at least, right?
Are you asking me? I'm
gonna guess Third Strike, but...
Okay, we'll go with that. Third Strike.
Street Fighter Alpha.
Darn it!
God damn it!
You ruined me. You're in cahoots, aren't you?
Well, you got 2 points there, that guy. Reg, you don't get any gold stars.
Oh, man. I'm getting
so yelled at.
Oh, man. Oh, that was fun stuff. So now, let's just talk about Awakened Gaming. Reg, why don't you go first? I want to hear from you. What have you been playing?
Okay, well, I am actually in the process of moving.
All right.
I'm moving to Winter, Florida, to attend Full Sail in April.
I have a friend in Full Sail. I have a friend named Kurt Young there.
Oh well, then yeah, I don't know if there's that much interaction between the classes because like you start.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
You start in any given month, and then you only see those people that you started with for the next 2 years. That'll be interesting. But yeah, so you know, I'm moving down there. So I've already packed my PS3 and my Wii into some boxes. So I haven't been able to play Flower. My 360 Red ringed on me 2 days ago.
Awesome.
So basically, I've just been playing. I've been packing and kind of taking care of paperwork and all that fun stuff, and playing Eve in between everything else.
Hmm. Did you guys see those cartoons that have been making the rounds on some of the blog sites of like all of the video game consoles as best friends?
Oh, those were touching.
They're all drawn cute, and there's one with the 360.
Yeah, those were adorable.
That was hilarious. The 360's in bed, and he's got the red ring, and the Wii and the PS3 are giving him soup. And it says, friends help friends that are feeling down. Or under
I
the
love
weather.
Those. Those are great.
I laughed so hard at that. Oh, God. Well, we got Street Fighter 4 over here.
Oh, I love it.
It's fun.
It's so good.
The things they added to it, like the revenge meter and the focus attacks, especially the focus attacks.
Yeah, because your whole deal, you were kind of down on it before we got it, because you're like, it's just 3D Street Fighter 2. There's nothing different. Well, I was like, there's some stuff.
It might have been. It is a lot like Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, but I think that's really, like, if it wasn't, people would be more upset.
Yeah,
I haven't played that much of it, but I get the impression that they borrowed a bunch of stuff that worked from Capcom versus SNK2.
You know, I played some of that. What the game that I was big on was Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which was the most over-the-top form of a 2D Street Fighter-style game ever.
Oh, yeah, that game was batshit.
That game was crazy.
Well, one thing I understand about this game that helps it feel so much like Street Fighter 2 when you're playing it, even though it's 3D, is that it uses 2D hitboxes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which contributes a lot to why it kind of feels the same. And the only thing I hate... Well, there's two things I hate. A, the AI is cheap. Like, I know we should expect this from fighting games, but my God, I spent 2 hours trying to beat the final boss of medium difficulty, and I could not do it.
The final boss's name's Seth.
Yeah, he's also terribly generic. He kind of looks like Dr. Manhattan.
He's too much like, what was the final boss in all the Virtual Fighter games?
Dural.
Yeah, it's just like it's just the guy that has everyone else's moves. Oh, okay. But and his name's Seth.
Two hours. Yeah. And the thing is, like, you beat the first round, you can beat him so easily. Then, like, the next round, he like triples his arsenal. He can teleport anywhere. He has a counter for everything. You could be in the middle of a move, and he can just grab you and throw you. It's complete BS.
Here's a pro tip, everybody. To unlock characters, you have to beat the game on arcade mode with certain characters. Just do it on the easiest difficulty one round. You'll have a much better time with things.
Now, that's my other complaint. I hate unlocking characters. This is what I'm sure the majority of people did. This is what we did. We put the game in, we put her on two controllers, and picked Versus. And, like, to have half the roster locked is complete bullshit, especially, like, in this day and age. I guess it's that they can, 2 weeks from now, release the $5 DLC code that just unlocks everybody for you. But it's just frustrating.
I think you're going to have to get used to that. That's the way of the future right there.
Yeah.
I like unlocking things sometimes, though. Like in Smash Bros., I have fun with it.
On Twitter, Ryan O'Donnell was talking about how, like, he doesn't have any problem unlocking costumes, stages, aesthetic things. The characters themselves, you really shouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was one of the things that I liked about the armor permutations in Halo 3, that they didn't affect the game at all. They weren't like characters that you were unlocking. But, you know, they were like a nice little visual representation of how badass you were.
Exactly. Now, I'm fine with that.
Now, the online mode works pretty good. Like when
you've played more online than I have.
Right. When it gets laggy, that sucks. But when it's on, and it's just a perfect experience. I still have a complaint with this game that I don't feel that there is a substantial single-player mode, like, say, something like the Street Fighter series would have, where you would have...
You mean Virtua Fighter?
I meant Soul Calibur. I don't know why I said Street Fighter.
Soul Calibur.
But, like, what the Soul Calibur series would have, where, the second one had, like, that world thing where you went all around, and the fourth one had that tower. Just some sort of single-player campaign that is like that. You know? And it's just... And I don't mean to just say, oh, well... Let's compare it to Soul Calibur 4. But Soul Calibur 4 had this sort of a thing where you unlock items playing through the single-player campaign where you can make your own characters and you could do all this kind of neat stuff. And I feel like there's just this certain amount of depth, not so much in the fighting system. The fighting system is down-packed, but just in the game itself that's missing. Like, I feel like there should just be one more component to really make this a $60 purchase.
I can understand it.
And I mean, I'm not that bitter. Obviously, $60 could be spent worse. It's a very good game, and you know.
I will say, I'm shocked at how well it controls just the base 360 controller.
Yeah, like,
I haven't had a problem.
People were like, "I need to buy a stick." I'm like, "Do you really need to pay $150?" I mean, I don't even know if I want that D-pad thing that we were thinking about getting.
Yeah, before. It's fine.
I don't know. It works fine for me.
So let's see, there's something else I played this week I wanted to talk about. I already mentioned the Burnout cars. I mean, it's still Burnout. They're just cool. Oh, I started playing the Lost game on 360 because I'm on a huge Lost kick right now.
I just did a face palm.
It's weird because, like, it's like one of those games where half of it's really good and half of it's really awful.
Are you sure? Is it really just half and half?
No, because, there's a lot of the presentational things that gets right. Like, the levels are broken up like episodes of Lost, where, like, every level starts with, like, previously on Lost. And you get, like, the little clip thing of everything you did before. It feels, like, right out of the show. The music in the game is spot on perfect. The atmosphere is good.
I'll tell you why the music's perfect. They just took the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. But, like, it fits everything dynamically, which is cool. But then, like, when you're talking to characters, it's... Like, if this game would have used, like, the Mass Effect dialogue system, it would have been awesome. But it's just the kind of standard pick from the menu, canned animations, they talk to you.
But their voice.
I seem to remember BioWare at some point talking about licensing that whole thing that they made to do the dialogue in Mass Effect.
And if they do another Lost game, they should totally do that, because it'd be good. And then the other maddening thing is, like, they only got, like, half the cast of the show to do their voices.
I wouldn't even say half of what I saw.
Well, the thing is, the characters that they didn't get are, like, all the main characters. Jack, Kate, Sawyer, Locke. And those are the ones you're talking to more than anybody. And, like, the Jack is okay, but, like, Locke is terrible. He's not even close. And Charlie, I don't think that guy ever watched the show.
The only thing that Charlie has in common with the real Charlie is that he's British.
Yeah. Like, that's
you're British?
Oh, you're British. You sound like him. And, like, that was it.
Ugh.
But, like, I mean, the parts of the game where you're, like, exploring and solving puzzles and, like, oh, there's like, a level where you get locked in the hatch for a little bit and you have to push the button. And just, like, the experience of just typing 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 into that computer was really cool. So, like I said, it's, like, there's a lot to like. There's just so many maddening things in between. Mm. But I intend to finish it. I like it so far.
Mm. Well, after about a three-week hiatus, I finally played some more Persona 4.
Good.
So I've been making a lot of good progress in that. And I'm in, like, October now. So I feel like I'm getting near the end, but I know when Beige beat it, he said he was over 100 hours of gameplay. I'm only at 40 right now. So either I've miraculously sped up the whole process of playing this game, or there's a lot more to left than I think.
You're just that good.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I've still been desperately searching for something to play portable right now.
You should just get Fire Emblem.
I don't have money, so I'm just
trying. That would be a problem.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to go back in my back catalog. I almost just started a new game in Final Fantasy V yesterday just to do something.
Just for kicks.
Yeah, just for kicks. We'll see. I gotta do something. I guess that's it for me, though.
Yeah, I'm good. George, anything else for you?
No. I think I pretty much covered everything.
All right.
I think we're all good there. Let's talk about what's coming out here.
All right. So for your downloading pleasure, on the WiiWares, we have Evasive Space. I believe it's a shmup.
Oh, thank God.
Then on the Virtual Console.
Oh, joy.
We have Life Force for the NES. I believe it's a shmup.
God damn it.
On the Xbox, at Xbox Live Arcade, Death Tank, which apparently everybody is very excited about. I haven't played it yet, but it looks just kind of like the classic tank game that's like, you know, what Worms is based off of.
Oh, okay. But in real time.
But in real time and kind of over the top.
It looks fun. Oh, so it's a shmup.
I guess. Then a new Xbox original is released this week, Grab by the Ghoulies, because, you know, that's phenomenal.
Who played Grab by the Ghoulies even?
I rented it. It was pretty bad.
I just remember looking at that box.
Basically, anybody who liked Banjo-Kazooie rented Grab by the Ghoulies and then cried for the next week.
That was pretty accurate. How'd you know?
I just looked at the box.
Because I like Banjo-Kazooie too.
Oh, I know.
I just thought, this game's art direction looks absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it's like they tried to have an art style, it just wasn't a very good one.
And also, the name is just an awful pun, and they need to stop being British, like, now, because they don't do justice to the concept.
Also, I guess this counts as a downloadable game. I wrote it down as miscellaneous. Lost in the Damned, the Grand Theft Auto 4 expansion, came out. I said I'd be very curious to see what percentage of people who buy this DLC actually finish the main campaign in GTA 4. Because, like, if you didn't, what's the point of buying this? If, like, because it's all in the same city. It's just more missions. Although, I guess what's weird is they apparently did a lot of tuning to the way bikes handle in the game because it's such a big component of this. But that doesn't exist in base GTA 4. Like, you think they patch that in as an improvement to the base game.
That did annoy me a lot in GTA 4 when I played it, how bikes were pretty much useless. And I remember there was this, like, missions where, like, you gotta go on the bike. And there was one mission where you had to chase somebody. You're on this freaking motorcycle. And it was just impossible because you kept just falling all over the place. It annoyed the hell out of me.
Mm. And oddly enough, I found it beautifully ironic that Lost in the Damned, which features this dick, for some reason, upon downloading it, it apparently censors the rest of the main game somehow.
I think
it flips some weird little switch that, like, turns on a language filter or something that I don't quite get.
I think that was more an issue in Europe or something, where, like,
oh, okay,
yeah, but there's some accident.
Still, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
That was almost poetic.
Is it kind of upsetting how, like, they're going to go out and do nudity? They could have at least done, like, full frontal female nudity.
Oh, you sexist.
Well, for God, I mean, come on. They know who their audience is.
I'll take boobs over a dick any day.
Well, true.
Thank you.
Let's see. PlayStation Network. Nobby Nobby Boy. Which, a lot of this is from the guy who made Katamari Damacy. And everyone's like, oh.
Keita Takahashi. Yes. He's an oddball.
He is. And I've seen videos of this game, and there's nothing to it. It's like Snake, but with less of a goal.
It's like Snake where you just where it's like somewhat physically simulated. There's
yeah,
no
but I don't know. Just watching gameplay video, I'm like, this doesn't look fun at all to me. But a lot of people are very excited for it.
Well, I mean, like, keep in mind, Keita Takahashi is not a game designer. He doesn't even like video games.
Right.
The only thing that he wants to do with his life is make playgrounds. And Katamari was so successful that Namco was like, please, please make another game. And he's like, well, okay.
I'm sure he said it just
and
like that.
I like the southern drawl that this Japanese man
according
has.
According to an interview, some of the design elements in Nobi Nobi Boy were inspired by the camera work in the trailer for Colin McRae's Dirt?
What?
Yes. It's on Kotaku. Read it. It's
That's
hilarious.
That's amazing.
Huh?
Well, maybe this game is good.
Huh?
We also have...
The best part is I watched the trailer, and there's absolutely nothing in there that could possibly bear any resemblance. I think he's just crazy.
That's good.
But the good kind of crazy, because right. I will play Katamari again. And
there you go.
That's another one. It just never clicked with me, but oh well.
Screw you.
They also released Zuma as the initial efforts of PopCap's games on the PlayStation Network. I like Zuma. I played it a lot on my iPod. Then we've got the good old games releases. Let's see. Runaway, a road adventure, which I believe is on Steam. Or like the sequel to it's on Steam. It's a point-click adventure.
Yeah.
And also Seven Kingdoms Ancient Adversaries.
All right.
I don't know what that is.
Well,
yeah.
Let's look at the real games that came out this week.
Okay.
Street Fighter 4, 360 PS3. We talked about it. So, you know, that's out, of course. So we got Warhammer 40,000K, Dawn of War 2.
I am excited for this because when I first started, like, looking at it, it looked a lot like kind of the role-playing strategy game that Blizzard was initially talking about with Warcraft 3, like, 10 years ago. And then 1UP just posted their review last night. Terry Wynn did it. And the very first paragraph, he's referencing that very same concept in this game. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted.
Wow.
So, and I like the multiplayer beta, too, so I'm excited for this game.
Now, maybe, I'll get behind anything Relic does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe this is what I want. Prinny, can I really be the hero?
I heard this game is punishing. Like, Ghosts and Goblins punishing.
But just something... I love that the title is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
You're a penguin
uh-huh.
with a sword...
And bat wings.
And a scarf. A really long scarf. Hmm.
Yeah, the Prinnies are these, like, silly little comic relief characters in the Disgaea series.
Oh, that's right. This is a Disgaea kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's Can I Really Be the Hero? Because he's like, I can finally have my own game! And then they just kind of hey, let's make that the title.
You just almost want to make it Lolcat speak. Like, I can't has hero?
I'm fascinated by this game. I've never even played Disgaea, but I want
I guess the
game.
Way it works is you start the game with 1,000 lives. And you go.
I want to play this game.
All right, there you go. Get that.
Dragon Quest V, Hand of the Heavenly Bride came out.
All right.
For the DS. What did I think it'd be, like, you know, they're adding all these subtitles. I think it'd be a fun exercise to just go through the Final Fantasy games and add subtitles for them.
Well, there you go. That's something for next week.
I want to do this. I want to make subtitles. I'm going to assign everyone to do this. Oh, man, it'd be great. Reg, you got to come back next week, and we'll have subtitles for all the Final Fantasies. We'll each have our own.
I'm down.
It'd be
I'm
hilarious. Down. All right, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon came out for the DS, which I'm also kind of interested in.
This is the remake of the original NES Fire Emblem.
Apparently, they made it much easier, which is okay for me.
There's still permadeath, though.
You can do something where you can recruit someone who's not the same exact character, pretty much like him.
Yeah,
it's like has the same abilities but a different name.
That's okay, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
My only issue is like I always thought the Fire Emblem games on the Game Boy Advance had like these amazing animated sprites. And for this one, it's just like cel-shaded 3D models.
It does worry me a little bit. We'll see. Race Pro for came out for the Xbox 360. Generic name, but...
I was going to say, yeah.
It's got a decent score. Got a 7.5 from GameSpot.
All right.
Disney Sing It! High School Musical 3 Senior Year for the Wii, PS3, and PS2.
All right.
What the hell did those syllables just mean?
I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
That was gibberish, right?
It's
there.
Not for you.
Are you a tween?
Guys, no, I'm not.
Okay, good.
Oh god. You know, when I was a tween, I was already fully a part of the online gaming community.
That's because we were nerds.
Yeah, but it was still awesome. I was 12 years old and I was on the Scum Bar talking about how cool Crystal Monkey Allen was.
Jeez, I wasn't even in. A community of any kind. I was just playing Myst for like the fifth time.
Good man.
We have Mac.
Oh, man.
And when Marathon came out, it was like mana from heaven, and I still play the Marathon trilogy because it is awesome, and I love Bungie, and they rock.
All right.
No matter how much everyone hates Halo.
Oh, I do give Halo some crap sometimes, but...
I like it.
Halo's fine. I won't get mad. Right. Okay, I guess we're going to end on this note. Moomin, the Mysterious Howling for the DS.
Looks to be a comical little cow on the cover of this.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a cartoon character. European, so I mean, you know.
Ah, of course.
Oh, exactly.
We don't give a rat's ass about anything that comes in. Like, in terms of his popularity and his like presence in popular culture, I'd put him like on the same level as like Asterix and Tintin, but
oh, okay.
You know.
What do they need to make their own cartoon characters for? We gave them Mickey Mouse.
We did all the work for them.
Exactly.
Frozen head of Walt Disney says, "What?"
Oh God. Well, we don't have the top 10 list, so it's kind of the end of the episode.
I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and I don't want to yell at you, Reg, about not liking.
I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I love the way the game plays, and I think the puzzles are brilliant. It's just the packaging that annoys the fuck out of me.
It's the pretense you don't like.
It's the, yeah. That's really all it is. As a puzzle game, I think it's brilliant.
Okay.
As a piece of literature, it's worse than anything by Charles Dickens.
Oh my.
And if you know me, that is a significant, put down.
But aren't you at least a little happy to see someone at least kind of try? As opposed
I'm
to just
happy.
Being dumb.
I am definitely happy to see someone make the attempt, but I feel like it's compensation in a way.
Okay.
Because I mean, I believe that art is a form of communication. So what we've been doing is we've had all of these games for years that don't communicate anything. And then we decide, okay, we need to make games that communicate something that like has like a creative expression that we can really consider to be art. Let's communicate something. But then we go all the way in the other direction and we communicate something that is only understandable to the person saying it and like three people who know him. And like when that happens, I'm just like, I can't relate to this. I'm sorry. So I just kind of, you know, sit there and skip all the text because it's unintelligible to me. Because I do not share the experience, and I do not share the, I do not share the experience that would make that relevant to me.
Mm.
So it's just skip, 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 skip. Well, try a little bit harder.
I cannot frame a counter
to more people next time.
I cannot frame a counter argument so eloquently. So we'll just leave it at that.
You win.
No, he doesn't. No,
achievement unlocked. 1,000 gamer score.
He does not win.
Victory.
Hey, by the way, what do you think about Wii Play sales?
Oh, God damn it.
do you think that's just because it's packaged in with a remote, or do you think some people will actually want to play Wii Play?
Who do you want to offend, me or Mike?
AJ is much less likely to go crazy and hunt you down.
Ooh. I don't know. I contemplated... playing Wii Play at that. That's a weird phrase.
It is.
At one point, because I was like, oh, okay, I can shoot clay pigeons and play Wii Billiards.
I'm not trying to defend Wii Play.
It's funny, actually, because I like, just as my day job until I move, I'm working in an electronics store, and we've had a couple of copies of Wii Play, and people would come in, ask for a copy of Wii Play, and then when they see that it's just the game, they go, oh, never mind, and walk out.
Ha!
See? My God. No.
See?
So, I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Okay,
point this, me.
Yeah, that's 1 point. So now it's like, what, 5-1?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this battle will continue another day. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Reg, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, you know, you're only the second third show we ever had on the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. God, after 72 episodes, only two times. Anyways, thanks again for listening, everybody. You can find our site at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can contact AJ at adguy711@gmail.com or me at tokoto@gmail.com. If you have anything you want to say to Reg, we'll pass it along to him for now. I don't know how much you really want to give your email.
Oh, you want to give your Twitter?
No, it's cool. Yeah, my Twitter is G Kokoris, because I use my real name in most places, so G K O K O R I S.
That's on Twitter and at gmail.com. So, okay. You know, either of those methods of contacting me are cool.
And, be sure to follow the Exploding Barrel on Twitter at twitter.com/Exploding Barrel.
And be sure to follow the Squadron of Shame at twitter.com/Squadron of Shame.
Of course.
And also, according to Beige, a recent Twitter post he had, a new milestone has been hit on the squadronofshame.com site. Apparently, you can now log in and out.
Right.
All right.
Well, it's in theory, I don't think people should start going there and trying it.
Well,
yet.
No, they can't. They don't know the secrets.
Right. But we're getting closer to the merger, as I like to say.
So yes. It's coming. Yes.
All right, everyone.
And I will say now that his work is phenomenal.
Oh, isn't
and
it though?
When the site finally launches, your mind is going to be blown.
Yes. That's what I tell everyone. And even when I just have some friends over who, like, you know, aren't in the squad or, you know, people don't like video games that much, I just like to show him that site because it's just so good looking. It's ridiculous. All right, everyone. So that's it. We'll see you next week. And you know what? I think we need
an outro now.
No, not an outro, but I need
we're having outros. Oh, sweet.
What's that called? Like a call sign or
a sign off?
Yeah, I need a sign off someday. We'll figure that out next time. Good night, everyone.
Peace.